Dear listener, the now late movie actress Joan Fontaine was the subject of many recent obituaries, all of which mentioned her role in the film Letter from an Unknown Woman. The romantic melodrama, directed by Max Ophuls in 1948, begins as a concert pianist, played by Louis Jourdan.
Did this come during the night?
Stands by his window on a rainy night.
Could you bring me some coffee?
Opens a letter and begins to read. The letter's shocking opening line is, "By the time you read this letter, I may be dead.
I may be dead."
And the letter spins out a tragic tale of obsession, passion, and unrequited love that becomes the basis for the whole film.
I must find the strength to write now before it's too late.
It reminded me of the way letters have been used by artists of every kind to create drama, move the plot along, reveal secrets, and bare souls. Letter from an Unknown Woman is from a novella by Stefan Zweig, originally from 1922. The Letter, another classic melodrama, is from Somerset Maugham's short story and play, in which a woman claiming self-defense as a motive for murder is undone by evidence in the form of a letter.
I think I should tell you that there is in existence a letter in your handwriting from you to Jeff Hammond.
At first in the film, the woman in question, played to the hilt by Betty Davis, relates her tale of being forced to commit murder to avoid her attacker.
I struggled to tear myself away from him. He seemed like a madman. He kept talking and talking and saying he loved me. It's horrible. Can't go on.
But everything changes when that letter comes to light.
Better read it for yourself.
These dramas remind us that all the things that happen now in our communications happened then. We waited impatiently for letters we hoped would come. We wrote letters that revealed too much, or we failed to destroy a packet of them that might incriminate us. We didn't press the equivalent of delete often enough, even then.
Tell me, who is the girl?
Oh, you know that girl I was corresponding with?
And they've been perfect plot devices in lighter entertainments, at the very center of The Shop Around the Corner. The Lubitsch film that has two colleagues in a Budapest shop writing letters to love interests, only to find out the love interests are each other.
I'm meeting her tonight, 8:30 in a cafe.
That Carnation?
Yeah.
Or the three wives in the movie A Letter to Three Wives, who read a letter.
I got a letter for the Mesday.
Sent by a friend.
Dearest Debbie, Laura May, and Rita.
Just as she leaves town.
You see, girls, I've run off with one of your husbands, Addie.
And for the rest of this epic, the three women are left to wonder which husband it is. Of course, all of the aforementioned movies were made within a decade or so in Hollywood. So you might think it's a 1940s thing, kind of like a virus, everybody using letters as plot devices and gimmicks. But then you turn around and realize how far back it goes. We don't have any letters Shakespeare wrote himself, for example, but we find them all over his plays, says Simon Garfield, author of a recent book called To the Letter.
Obviously, they can be letters that, you know, are misinterpreted, fall into the wrong hands. You know, you think of sort of Malvolio in Twelfth Night, or letters that Juliet didn't get. During Shakespeare's time, during the course of his plays, you can see how letters are an important part of kind of modern currency.
As for me, I can't help thinking of opera and the way letters have figured in the most passionate and touching scenes. In Eugene Onegin, for example, by Tchaikovsky, adapted from Pushkin, the famous letter scene.
It's actually the moment in which Tchaikovsky began to write the opera. When he read the Pushkin, the letter scene helped him structure the entire opera.
Opera expert Fred Plotkin tells us about the letter writer, Tatiana.
It's the second scene of the first act, and she has just met Onegin. She's 18 or so, develops a real crush, and goes home and pours out her heart to him in a letter that she writes through the night, revising and scribbling and writing feverishly.
The music itself helps us feel the emotion of the process.
The writing, the quick writing along the page as her hand is trembling as it tries to pour out what she's feeling in her heart. Anytime you go to an opera, the story is told in the orchestra, not in the words. The words are secondary.
The dawn breaks as she completes her letter of love and passion for Onegin, who later delivers a cool and crushing reply.
It was first love rejected.
Maybe even higher on the popularity scale is the Mozart duet from The Marriage of Figaro, in which the Countess is concocting really more of a note. She's dictating it to her maid to entice her husband, to get her husband back. And it's more than the manipulation we feel.
It's the mood of the person dictating the letter and the slight apprehension of the person writing it down, trying to get everything right. It's a very emotional moment. We learn more about two women. It's not about the content of the letter.
The plot is complicated, but writing takes time, says Mozart.
While all the action hurtles forth in this opera, this moment is pause for beauty. He brings everything to a halt with it. It's amazing, actually.
And all for a note. Somebody once said, every detail of civilization is just more material for art. If so, it's fascinating to see how artists have wrapped their minds, like an envelope, if you will, around the practice of written communication, with lessons for us all, perhaps, as our letterhead piles up in a dusty corner. For WNYC, I am, very truly yours, Sarah Fishkill.